Hello, you 11s. We're just going to talk through some potential exam questions for an inspector calls and what kind of approach you might want to say, like what you would want your paragraphs to be on. So the first question that I'm posing to my sidekicks, Mr. Neil and Mr. Shirley, is what do you think is Inspector Gould's role in the play and how does Priestley present him thus?
Good question.
Shirley, start off.
Oh, okay. So you can talk about how he's the voice of Priestley, obviously, because of the millions and millions of Eva Smiths trying to recognise the need for social change.
Yep.
It's also important to remember that Priestley was a socialist himself, and Inspector Gould promotes a socialist agenda and is very critical of the capitalism, or is very critical of capitalism and how it's led to the situation they were in 1947, just coming out of two world wars and a Great Depression.
What does socialism mean?
Socialism is the idea that we should all look after each other and work together.
You crank.
Indeed, which is what Mr. Burling labelled the likes of H.G. Wells and other famous socialists of the time. Capitalism, however, is the idea of almost looking after yourself, making your own money, and as long as you're okay, that's all that matters. And you have your responsibility for yourself and your family and nobody else.
So Inspector Gould is very much very critical of the Burling family, isn't he? He's kind of there for their judgment, and also a bit of like a mirror to like show them how they treat people. What else is his role in the play? Obviously detective.
Well, he doesn't, since he's a detective, you can say he's the role of justice.
Yeah.
But justice kind of normally is punitive, meaning like you give people punishments for what they do wrong. Whereas he seems to be more of like a moral judgment in terms
I think in this instance, the justice and the law are two separate things.
So different. Yeah, this is actually what we were talking about in the podcast yesterday with Everton Miranda. The idea that doing something wrong criminally and morally is really, really different in this play. Like, and I think the criminal aspect of things, so for example, Mr. Burling, Mrs. Burling, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything to break the law.
The only person that's done anything legally wrong is Eric.
Well, Eric's stealing of the money.
Yeah.
Because actually at the time, I don't know whether his raping of Eva Smith would have been a criminal offence.
Yeah.
And doesn't... Well, Inspector Gould doesn't push so much on what is legally done wrong at all. It's more so what's morally done wrong.
Yeah, he's not interested in the stealing from Mr. Burling, is it? Yeah.
No, not at all. So which is quite interesting because we've got that contrast then between Arthur Burling and Inspector Gould. So Arthur, who has been fairly, fairly relaxed, aside from how it might affect his reputation, but doesn't seem particularly horrified by the actions of his family until we've got Eric stealing this money from him, which is oh, good God. Yeah. We see really where his... The only thing he cares about being money and reputation.
And that's kind of how Gould is used to critique the society too, because he's not critiquing people doing anything legally wrong. It's the morality that even though it's legally acceptable to exploit the workers and things like that, he's pushing against
moral
the morality.
Yeah.
And that's kind of similar to Marxism too, that capitalism isn't necessarily evil people. It's just that people have been corrupted by capitalism, and Marx sees that people are alienated and ruined.
Yeah, it's about like changing. Yeah, he wants the audience. He wants them to have the idea that you should look after each other.
Yeah.
And so that mouthpiece for Priestley is clearly the inspector. This idea then that perhaps, with the ghoul aspect, what do we think? Do we think he's a ghost? Do we think he's...
I think just to use the name ghoul, you could link to being like spirits and link to like the idea that he's God, because the spirit of God. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
I think his omniscience is definitely significant. The fact that he
omniscience,
sees everything.
Omniscience, I was just going to say.
Yeah, the fact he sees everything, he knows everything.
Well, but he foresees the death of the young girl, which we find out at the end of the play.
And in fact, and Sheila even says to Gerald that he knows you fool. So this idea that there are no secrets from the inspector, in the same way that you're sort of sitting in judgment of God. Which is odd because there's no very little explicit reference to religion in the entire play.
Well, we've got obviously our fire and blood and anguish, which could be sort of hell-like imagery. I know it's also foreshadowing perhaps the events of the war. But yeah, you're right. It isn't a particularly religious play, but it is very much a moral play. So I guess where religion and morality are, you know, can go hand in hand, arguably.
Yeah, I just think, thinking about 1912, we've looked at Jekyll and Hyde, which was 1886?
Either
4
or
6. Yeah, so mid-1880s. So you're only talking about 30 years difference between when Jekyll and Hyde was written and Inspector Calls is set. Yeah. And you look at the discussion about religion versus science in Jekyll and Hyde, it's one of the key things.
Yeah.
Whereas it's almost completely absent in comparison in Inspector Calls.
Yeah.
So I think I wouldn't get too bogged down on religion for an Inspector Calls.
No, it's more just a side. Yeah, it's not as significant. Okay, so to sum up then, his role is one of sort of judgment of.
But I think it's more like the idea that they have to accept the responsibility, that they have to be the ones that judge themselves, because the fact that he's not an actual inspector, and then the hoax theory happens right before the actual phone call from the real inspector, it kind of gives them the opportunity to acknowledge what
they've done. I suppose it gives them that opportunity for epiphany, doesn't it?
It structures the play that the Burlings are given the chance for their own redemption.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what...
And the
that's
only
sort
people
of what Christian
that...
idea is, that you commit sin and you have to,
acknowledge it.
Quotes that we'd want to include for this question for Inspector Gall.
Millions and millions of Eva Smiths.
Yeah, so millions and millions of Eva Smiths. Fire and blood and anguish, always whenever you get one for Gall, because that's his final sort of speech at the end.
I think you could talk about Mr. Burling's, I'll give thousands, of the idea that he's had the epiphany of trying to repair, but he's corrupted by capitalism, that Inspector Gould's trying to critique, so he doesn't actually understand how to really fix it. So he is trying and he is acknowledging slightly, but he doesn't know how to do it properly.
I think also the reactions of Sheila and Eric, because even though the question is on the inspector, his role in the play is also to change their viewpoints, and he's done that with Sheila and Eric. So when we have, for example, Eric saying, "It's what happened to the girl that matters." It shows that he's actually had an impact.
So you're saying that even though the question is about the inspector, you could be quoting other characters to show the impact of the inspector.
Definitely, because the inspector would be a pointless role if he doesn't influence or oppose other characters. So we can see, so if you know a lot and you know some quotes about Mr. and Mrs. Burling, and perhaps at the end how they are unaffected by the inspector, you can include those to show how he hasn't been able to influence the older generation, but that he has the younger generation, which actually represents the future, and kind of concludes this idea that he is Priestley's, you know, hope for the future.
Yeah.
I also like, and purely because of the very subtle comedy, is the inspector's unflappability, where Mr. Burling's going through right at the start in Act One, where the inspector just arrives and he's going through this list of things that, you know, I've sat on the bench, I'm
Lord
QC,
Mayor for 2 years.
Yeah, and I play golf with the Chief Constable, and the inspector just says, "I don't play golf."
Yeah.
So sort of summing up all of these achievements and things that Mr. Burling holds dear, "I don't play golf."
He's just so disinterested.
And so removed from
represents how he doesn't value those things.
Absolutely.
And how he's there to judge those values.
Okay, so I hope that was helpful. We'll be back. We've got a couple more questions to explore, so make sure you tune in.